Hey, I'm Tony Perkins. If you're a small business owner, your life is busy. You can't be figuring out every little thing, how to bring in the next client, how to figure out payroll. You don't have the time or the money to have your own secretary to take the calls, but answering all of the calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Here's something that's going to help you. It's called eVoice. Whether you're a business of one or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business is going to sound like a bustling Fortune 500 company. Even if you can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. And with eVoice, you can even try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, you can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page, and insert the code TPGS. Take charge of your business. Go to our website and click on the banner. Insert the code TPGS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. eVoice, a better way to connect.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Oh, louder, louder. We can barely hear you, Gary.
I'm trying to set a mood. Oh. Louder. I was trying to create something a little along the lines of My Eyes Adored You, you know, little
My
little
Eyes
Frankie
Adored
Valley,
You.
Little Herb Alpert.
With this music?
Do you know that I used to think that Herb Alpert's name was Herp Albert? Herp. How would like to be called Herp?
Herp.
Yeah.
There he is, Herp Alpert.
I thought for years
Herb
it was
Alpert.
That. You know?
Alpert.
Alpert.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Albert for a second,
you,
but no.
You know Herp. How kids get things wrong?
Yes. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I have some very funny things I got to tell you about that I got wrong.
Me too. When I was little, like about celebrities or other stuff, I've told you one of my most famous ones. I think I've mentioned it
yes.
on the show.
Yes, but you should tell it.
About
though.
Dogs and cats? When I was a kid,
yes, go
when
ahead.
I was a kid, yeah. a little kid, I thought that cats were female dogs. I didn't know that they were a separate breed.
And people don't think you're strange.
Anyway, hello there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Tony Perkins Show, starring Gary Stein. I'm Tony Perkins.
I am Gary Stein, always.
And we are joined today, as always, by our youthful ward, Rob Ford.
Yes.
Going back to mistaken celebrity names, one of mine was Pia Zadora.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was P, just the letter P, and then Isadora.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
You know, when you have to carry a bunch of things?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I was a kid, I used to say, I can't carry this whole bungle myself. I didn't know that there
I
was...
I love stuff like
me
that.
Me too.
I love stuff
I didn't say
like
Bischetti.
That.
You know, a lot of kids said Bischetti.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do that, but I had a... I did this. I used to think that the... The TH sound.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that there was only one TH sound. So it would be the, thing, that, those.
Oh, that you couldn't change. Oh.
It was all
right,
the same.
Right, right, right,
yeah.
right.
Huh. Like thimble. I would say like thimble.
Thimble.
Yeah.
So what about tooth? Would tooth be tooth?
No, I would say toofus.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I have a friend. And when he was introduced to me, actually, we've mentioned Joe Johnson on the show. He
yes.
does the Beetle Brunch radio show.
The Beatles!
But don't mention him.
2 minutes in. And Joe has a very good friend who's now a friend of mine. When he introduced me to him, I thought his name was Donnie G. Donnie, like last week's guest, Donnie
yeah.
Simpson. Donnie G, G-E-E.
Yeah.
His name is Don, middle initial E, last
oh.
name G.
You see, but you don't see it written,
right,
so you don't
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
You know?
So that one's an easy one.
Why don't
one.
You tell people about what you did when you were younger about doing some radio show stuff, and then you would say, you know, we'll be back because we're having what?
Oh,
why don't you set that up a little
well,
bit?
This would
see,
be,
I don't forget anything.
This, yeah, you're right. And I don't know if I told you this or my mom told you this.
You did.
I was... Even as a little kid, I was already destined to work in broadcasting. I always had an interest in it. My mom talks about my
you
first...
You still expect to.
Yeah, yeah, right. My mom talks about my first steps were taken. There was something on our old console TV. This would be back in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It made me get up and walk towards the TV. Some of my earliest memories are with the television or holding my mom's hairbrush and using it as a microphone and saying, repeating the phrase that you would hear sometimes on TV, but mispronouncing. We're having tefical difficulties. Please stand by. Tefical difficulties.
I love that. One of my favorite things that Billy used to sell. He'll kill me. But you know what? I'm in Washington and he's home. One of the things that he said when he was a little boy is he confused two foods that we used to serve a lot. Mm-hmm. And he would say, could you pass the broccamole? and that That's was guacamole,
cute. But That's cute.
But he did eat broccoli as a kid. Uh-huh. So I just loved that. I loved that.
I said crappers instead of crackers.
Well, that must have provided lots of entertainment for your family.
So good.
Son, come over here for a minute. tell them what you like to eat.
Right now, I'm having a crapper. I can't come over.
I like cheese on my crappers.
I love that
There's
stuff.
No way to make that good.
That's great. Well, welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very happy to have you here. I've got a good show planned for you. This week is the final week of The Late Show with David Letterman.
Yeah.
An era coming to an end.
Yes.
Been on late night TV 33 years.
Yeah, I was not a habitual Letterman viewer,
mm-hmm.
but it's really weird to say this. I so totally appreciated him.
Yeah.
I didn't watch him.
Well, you know what?
I don't know why.
I used to watch him religiously, and then I kind of fell out of it, and now I've gotten back into it as it's been winding down.
Right.
And as happens with a lot of these shows, it's gotten really, really good again.
It's funny how that happens as something is drawing to a close. People were more drawn to Jay mm-hmm. as Jay was leaving.
Right, that's right.
You know?
Conan O'Brien's final Tonight shows from his short-lived version of The Tonight Show. The show was a little troublesome, and they were trying to figure out what to do. But that last week or so, shows were among the best late-night TV shows I ever
Absolutely,
saw.
Absolutely, except he never got the hair right. You know, I mean, he looks like a guy in a comic book.
He does,
right?
Actually.
It looks like it's made out of cement.
It
and
must
can't
take
move.
A lot of work to do that.
Yeah.
It makes him like a foot taller.
And really, if it takes a lot of work to do that, why bother?
Well, it's his thing. It's his trademark.
His branding.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk David Letterman. Not to David Letterman, but we're going to talk David Letterman.
What a guest.
Why? You don't think Letterman would talk to us?
Well, you know, the funny thing, the picture for this episode is David Letterman. So I'm sure some people looked at it and thought, oh my God, they got Letterman?
Yeah.
No. But we have Matt Rausch from TV Guide magazine.
Some people think we got Ringo.
Matt Rausch is going to join us a little bit later to talk about Letterman's legacy. Before we get into the show, I want to acknowledge this is our third week with our first ever sponsor, eVoice.
Yeah.
We've run the spots. I don't think we've really welcomed them to the show, but we want to welcome them. Very excited to have them on board. It is a great product, especially if you've got a small business or something like that and you want to sound big time and really be efficient. It's a great thing. So we urge you to check out eVoice, and we welcome them to the show. Very happy to have them here.
Let me say something about this, if you don't mind. Tony, let me just speak for just 1 second. You know what? If eVoice was terrible, I would have said how great they are because I'm so thrilled to have a sponsor.
Well, this is not a good way to...
But you know what's easy?
What?
It's actually easy to rave about them because...
Yes.
They make it very, very easy. You know I can't
This
just...
is why I did the commercial.
That's right.
In fact...
There's another reason why.
Well, in fact, there is a version of... You know, when we do the show, after we do the show, we record promos and stuff. We did the first take of the commercial. Gary decided to do it and did one of his many voices. It is hysterical. But
not arable.
It will never air, unfortunately.
Maybe if we get to a place where people can like pay for bonus stuff.
That's where it would air.
It would air
That's
there.
Where it would
like
air.
Like Rob loaded a promo that we made that fell apart a little bit.
Yeah.
It'll never air.
Right.
It can't air.
But where did
Some
he load
the
it?
Thing-
oh, you just sent it
he
to
sent
us
it
to listen to.
He sent it to us.
Yeah. We should do a bonus show sometime of outtakes.
It's actually all over the internet. I didn't tell you about it, but this is a great way for you all to find out. I'm glad we were able to do this.
Can I just bring us back somewhere before we lose eVoice?
Yes, please.
Because it's our first sponsor.
We're like ADHD.
And I'm shameless about the fact that I just want to keep them.
Yeah.
But listen.
Okay.
Here's the thing about them that is really so terrific. I think in any business, it's all about perception.
Mm-hmm.
In that you want to look like you're very supported.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a staff of one or a staff of 20, eVoice, really, I sound like a commercial, no, but I don't mean to do this.
Well, you come from a place of business.
I do.
You're a businessman.
I'm in business.
Right.
eVoice, because I do some business right now.
Oh, here
I'm
going
to do some business to sell some stuff right now for this product guy, because I want him to stay on our show. If he stay on our show stay. Can't get our show to stay. We don't got no sponsor. All right, so wait. Don't leave. People, please.
Stay with us.
Anyway, it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors in business until you're really up and running.
Yep.
And even when you're up and running, you want it to not only look like, but to be very supported. So
yep.
You get a double bang for freshness here. You get the illusion at first of being very supported and looking like you are a much more substantial business than
mm-hmm.
you might be.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you are a substantial business, there's a great place for them because they provide a tremendous service.
Yeah, that's very nice. And it comes from the heart.
It does.
That's great.
Listen, it's really easy to talk about something good.
Yeah.
When we get some sponsors that we don't like, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, well, we'll do those too.
Yes, we will.
So welcome to eVoice. And you can get the 60-day free trial. Just go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page and insert the code TPGS, as in Tony Perkins, Gary Stein.
Very important there that you put that code in, right, Tony?
Yes, it is.
And right now we have the website set up where if you go to either www.tonyperkinsshow.com or if you go to michaelmaraschow.com and click the Tony Perkins Show from the show tab,
mm-hmm.
it'll take you to a landing page that says this week is brought to you by eVoice.
Mm-hmm.
Just click on the eVoice. It'll take you exactly where you need to go, and then you can just click right onto the show after that.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
Rob, why don't you just be quiet?
All right. Got to tell you something. Usually you come in and you got a story to tell. This isn't a story, really, but it's something that happened to me. Very disconcerting and disturbing.
Did it involve surgery?
It did not.
Okay, well, then it's already better. It's a little better.
It happened earlier this week. We've said before, our show comes to you from a beautiful studio in Georgetown in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Great place. And I actually drive through Georgetown every day on my way to work at Fox 5. I just go right up the street. Our studio is right up the street from this studio, which is really good. Anyway, I'm driving to work the other day.
What happened, Tony?
Well, while I'm driving, I'm talking, I'm using my Bluetooth, talking to a friend of mine on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and it's a guy friend. As I'm driving, I make a turn onto Wisconsin Avenue. I'm coming up Wisconsin, and literally, as guys will do sometimes, I see a beautiful girl walking up the street. She's with a guy, beautiful.
What is it that a guy usually does, Tony?
Well, I actually, as I'm talking to my friend Dean, I actually said, man, I interrupted what he was saying. I said, man, you should see this girl. She is gorgeous.
Are you aware that your wife listens to our show?
Yeah, I was so embarrassed by this, I told her about it.
No, you weren't embarrassed, you were scared. I know, Rhonda.
Well,
and you went right home and said, honey,
no.
Honey.
There is a reason I
did
told
a bad
her.
Thing.
Well, what I told my brother this as well, and he laughed. He said, don't tell anybody else that story. I said, I already told Rhonda. He just shook his head and walked away.
Oh, boy. Why didn't you just go to confession?
Well, I should go.
So maybe. Now he's going to tell the thousands and thousands of listeners
right.
we have, too.
Well, it's quirky.
No one's listening. Here, go ahead.
So I'm driving up the street. She catches my eye. And I love this time of year. It's springtime, mm-hmm. and the women are coming out of their coats and everything, wearing their spring dresses.
What was she wearing?
She was wearing a beautiful dress. It was classy. This was not a slutty look or anything like that. It was a nice look.
Yeah, because you would have liked that even better.
No. It was a nice look, a cute dress, a short skirt, not too short.
So you really noticed just about everything, didn't you, Tony?
Listen, I'm a man. I appreciate the female form. I like pretty women. You know, I will notice a pretty woman.
Were there any tattoos under the clothes?
Now you're making this even worse than it is.
I hope so.
I have no idea.
Here is a question Mike O'Mara will always ask.
Okay.
What is the celebrity she most resembled?
Oh, boy. Oh.
Melissa McCarthy.
You're not going to know. Zendaya, I would say, from the Disney Channel.
Isn't she like 16?
Yeah. Okay, let me finish my story. Let me finish the story. No further questions.
Ann or Barbara?
No, Zendaya. You have to look her up. Okay. So I look at this girl and I'm like, wow, she's really pretty,
She's 16.
And then I say to Dean, wow, this is a pretty girl that I'm seeing on there. Oh, man, really? Yeah, she's fantastic. I continue to drive. And as I just get right up next to her. She's on the opposite side of the street, so that I, as I'm passing, I can look and see her face. I see her face, and into the phone I go, "Oh, oh, no, no." Dean's like, "What, what?" "This is Brittany, my friend Monique's 18-year-old daughter." Monique, no. Mike and Monique, dear friends of our family. This girl, we used to, this girl, we babysat her when she was a baby sometimes at our house.
Yeah.
And I see her on the street. I don't realize it's her, and I'm checking her out.
Oh, you're a dirty old
and
man.
And then I see it's her. It could have been my daughter. I felt so awful and weird.
Did you need to take a shower?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I wasn't thinking impure thoughts. I really was not.
Oh, come on.
I wasn't. I really wasn't.
No.
I wasn't. I was just like, wow, that is a pretty girl.
Why did you ask me for the key to my hotel room? You're going to get no help here.
No, I just it felt very weird. It felt very
weird. I thought you were going to say something else.
What?
I thought you were going to say that you turned to look at her and give her the kind of hey, hey, baby look.
No, no, no.
And that she gave you a look like, how old are you?
Well, that's the other thing. I'm glad you said that. That's the other thing that this reminded me of. And I actually had a conversation with a friend of mine. Oh, my friend Richard. We were talking one day about how Richard said to me he realized that, you know, because again, we're programmed a certain way,
mm-hmm.
men.
Yes.
And you naturally, if you see a pretty woman or a pretty girl who may be 25 years old or whatever, you make note of it. You know, some guys act on it and, hey, baby, how you doing?
Yeah.
Some guys will try to engage and, you know, all that. But at the very least, most of us will notice her and think, wow, that's great.
We are visual creatures.
We are visual creatures. So, but Richard realized, you know, that if he sees a girl like that now, even if he wanted to go up and talk to her, which he doesn't, doesn't do that. But if he wanted to, that we are now at the age where we would just be creepy to them. There would be no, you know, when you were younger, there was a possibility, hey, how you doing? And you'd chat and maybe get along, be friends, or maybe when you were single, be more than friends. Now you would just, you and I, not you, Rob, you and I would be creepy old men.
Well, maybe, but that's a very sad thought. But
it's true.
Well, I think we have great potential to be creepy old men now because, I mean, you know, we're of an age where young women are not shopping for us. And that's really hard.
It is hard.
It's really hard. But I did hang out with a guy in L.A. a lot who was a playwright. He's gone now, a very good friend of mine. And he was of the mind that at any age, you can convince a woman that you're important enough in her business to be of use.
Yes.
And he, I would say, till the day he died young, till the day he died at 66, he was rarely alone with anybody over 25.
But see, I agree with what he said. You can, given the right level of charm and given
lying.
Lying, or if you're a man of influence or you got money or something like that, yes, you can. That is the driving thing that makes guys want to succeed. Really,
yes.
It's to have the possibility of still being with young women.
Well, let me add to that.
That's why you make money.
It is. Well, you know what? I think if you make a lot of money, suddenly lots of years are taken off and you look a hell of a lot better.
Well, yeah, it's,
you know?
It's true.
But,
so
but
I
do you
agree
want
with
that?
Him.
You want that?
No.
Because you still know that they're dealing with a creepy old man who just has means.
I think people like Billy Joel, who has had he had one really young wife, and has he moved on to another really young girl?
I don't know, but has anyone changed more? He looks like my grandfather.
He doesn't even look the way he used to look. He looks like a banker.
I don't know what happened.
He doesn't look like a rock star.
No.
But the reason he can be with a young girl is he's Billy Joel.
Yeah, no, that's
if he weren't Billy Joel and he approached a young girl, she would go, ew.
But that's true of every celebrity. Everybody who is really in the public eye, who's a star.
Right.
You know, people want to be with you, and you do have that cachet that we don't have.
So that's why I'm saying you and I, we would be creepy old men.
Yes.
We're creepy old
but
men.
One
and I don't think of myself as that.
Oh,
and it's very sad.
I do.
I'd set you up for that.
Of course. No, you know, you're right. But one reason why we are willing, unfortunately, to live with it is because we're not really willing to lie. We're not really willing to get people to think that we're a good bet and they should spend the night with us. And
And I would never be able to live with myself and my beautiful bride if I ever did anything. Anyway, here's what men want. Here's what I think men want of a certain age.
Right.
Because maybe at a certain age, you're not, you know, you're not even really aware of what's down there. Because you're just
on yourself?
Yeah, you've been around too long. Right. You know, you're not really that in touch with it.
Really?
But
you lose touch?
I think you can touch, but you lose touch.
No, I don't mean touch, touch.
Okay, but, and here's, at a certain point, I think this is all that guys want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to go up to a girl. They want to know that the girl wants them. And they're happy to go home and read a magazine.
I think you're right.
You know?
I think you're right.
I just want to know that I'm desirable.
Right. I think you're
right. And I'm constantly saying to my wife that I feel as if day by day I am losing my desirability.
Yeah. And what does she say?
She says, well, yes, but not to me. No, she doesn't say that. She doesn't
say that. Yes, but.
No, I think Sarah's either kind or needs an optometrist. I don't know.
I think Rob has some kind
of information. By the way, Billy Joel, he's not married currently. He is, but his partner is Alexis Rodernick. She is 33 years old, and they are expecting a child this year.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. And how old is he? 63?
He's 65.
65.
Yeah, so that means that Christy Brinkley's no...
But he's celebrating a good decade on his AARP card.
And it's because he's Billy Joel.
But
there's
see,
no way.
But that's always been true.
Yeah,
it's always been true
that
stars and people who are famous in any field can get luckier than we can
absolutely
if we're just
right.
regular people.
So why don't we review about Tony? Let's see here. He is rich, obviously.
Yeah. Well, he's a billionaire.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned before, man of influence.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Celebrity.
Yes.
Minor.
And in this case, she actually knew who you were, so you had that in. It was a
Don't go there.
It was a warm lead.
Yeah. Warm lead.
Oh no. Oh now.
Rhonda, are you listening?
I'm gonna pour this bottle of water on myself. Now I need a shower.
Just pour it on your pants.
No.
He's tracing the cross on his chest as we speak.
Yes, I am.
You know what's
no, this is a dear friend.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she's
here we go.
Wonderful.
Why,
I'm serious.
Why is the desk moving on your side?
No.
Tony, and I'm being serious. Why is your belt on the table? His belt is really on the table.
He doth protest too much.
You guys are sick.
I appreciated the story.
Let me tell you. She's going to be famous one day. She's an actress.
Yeah.
Beautiful. She's talented. So you watch. She's going
to
be famous.
Maybe you could treat her like.
Not treating her to anything.
Wait.
She is a friend.
You don't even know where
family.
I'm going.
Heard it is a very good treat though.
I'm being very kind here.
Okay.
Maybe you could sort of take her out like an intern.
I'm not taking her out
to anything. And like let her think that you can be influential.
No, you guys don't get this.
And then you go to a Motel 9.
She could be like my niece. Yeah, she could be like my niece.
Right.
Yeah.
And that never happens.
Not in most of the states. I almost named a state, but then I thought, we might have a listener there.
So let me ask you
something. It's fairly close to us.
Do you feel any more or less creepy now that you've
I feel
told the
worse.
Story?
Now I wish I hadn't. I thought I would, I tell this story, you go,
No.
That's rough.
If you feel worse, Rob and I have done our job.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I'm always here to help.
Speaking of all this, let me see. Where I want to get to. Let's talk a little bit about David Letterman.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is now you and I, and we've talked about this many times. Yeah. We grew up in the age of Carson.
Yes.
But certainly, we were both Letterman fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And he brought something different to late night TV.
He did not change the talk show format, which you think and many people think that in some ways Jimmy Fallon is really changing the way the Tonight Show works.
Yeah.
Letterman didn't really change the format, but he brought something very different to it in that he was much riskier, I think, than any of the late night talk show hosts before him.
He brought a different sensibility to it.
Yes.
In that it was, especially the early version of his show in many ways was making fun of the other, not so much, like he wasn't making fun of Carson, but he was making fun of talk show conventions, I think.
Well, he did a lot of stuff that I thought was tongue-in-cheek, where it's possible that the person he was talking to wasn't necessarily in on the joke, and that's a very dangerous place to road to ride, whatever you call it. Rob will get rid of that for me so that I sound like I'm not having a stroke.
We're leaving it in.
Difficult place to live.
Line to cross. Line in the sand.
I think you've made your point.
Okay. Yeah.
But he did have the luxury of that 12-30 time slot, and that's why he could
be so edgy. Absolutely. Yes. Very good point. And as the originator of late night, the show lives on now with Seth Meyers.
Right.
Really had the chance. And, in fact, it's been interesting to watch Seth Meyers. I think Seth has tried to take it back to that kind of quirky, not completely successfully, in my view, but quirky bits that are a little more strange than they are funny, but Letterman really started that and really succeeded with that.
Well, he also is the guy who started to talk to, quote, regular people.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who went out on the street to talk to the deli man and all the people.
Nobody
was really doing that.
Which was great.
Although.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
Steve Allen.
Yes, that's right. And people acknowledged that back then because it was closer to the Steve Allen era. We're talking mid-80s.
Yeah.
Some people remembered, hey, he's doing what Steve Allen used to
do. That's right. The innovator of The Tonight Show, the creator
right.
of it. Steve lived dangerously out there, but Letterman took it further.
He took it further.
And no one had been doing it for a while.
Right. That's right. But it's funny now when you're reading the retrospectives and all that kind of stuff, people seem to have forgotten that he was doing kind of a new version of Steve Allen. It didn't originate with Letterman. Yes, he fine-tuned it, took it further, but it was an update of what Steve Allen had done in the 50s and the early 60s.
That's right. And Steve had recurring characters.
Yeah, right.
And
that's right.
What I liked about the earliest days of Letterman is sometimes you didn't know that a character was a character.
Right,
you know?
That's right.
I mean, it took a while to catch on to Bud Melman.
Melman, well, that's the most famous one. Forever, we all thought, who is this guy? He was like an NBC page, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Bud Melman. And Bud Melman, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you remember Bud Melman?
I don't. I'll have to look him up.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Bud Melman.
Larry Bud
which
Melman.
Which was the made-up name, yeah.
So funny. And then years later, you find out, oh, he's an actor.
Yeah.
Calvin DeForest was his name.
You listen to you.
How about that?
Was he related to DeForest Kelly from Star Trek? No?
It's not a common name.
No.
You know what? If you play that game, that you can't go any further than that, where you have to,
you're done.
One person says,
oh, yeah.
Calvin DeForest Kelly. I guess you go from the last time. Kelly.
Yeah. Grace Kelly.
Well, don't you have to start with the name?
Oh, really?
The first name of
Kelly
the next
Ripa.
Person. Yeah, Kelly Ripa.
Oh, I was going to do that because then you can't go anywhere.
Oh.
Ripa? There's no Ripa somebody. Rip a fart.
Oh, I can't believe you are so PC. I can't believe you even said that. You know, speaking of confession, he said fart. He's going to have to go explain that later. And I'm not like that.
I was desperate trying to find something. Rob, you pulled and with the help of Rob Spiewak, give him a ding. There you go. We pulled a couple of Letterman jokes and little bites. I listened to some of them. What is Letterman pet monkey? Can we hear that?
You ever have a situation where you think, oh my God, and then it turns out to be okay, and then you feel so relieved you're almost giddy? Ever have that?
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at a man who's almost giddy. Here's what happened. I go home last night. You know I have a pet monkey.
Yes.
And I didn't get all the lights on in the house, and I saw that. I said, come here, Bobo. And I saw him, and it looked like he had rabies, and I thought, oh, no. But it turned out he just got into the Cool Whip.
Wow.
Very bizarre.
You know, that almost sounded like a bad impression of Joe Piscopo doing David Letterman.
Well, that's a younger. I think that's
so
a
young.
Younger Letterman. Yeah. The best thing about the last couple of weeks is that they've been showing each night for, I guess, the month, really. They've been showing a clip from an earlier show. Oh, my God. Some of the stuff. When he took over the drive-through of a fast food restaurant.
Yes.
Very fun. And in this particular clip, you know, people are coming through. I'd like two cheeseburgers. Well, we're out of cheeseburgers or whatever. One guy comes through and Letterman says, hey, you know what? We're out of onions in here. Would you mind going across the street and getting a 10-pound bag of onions? And the guy's like, what? Yeah, can you get me some ovens? And the guy, you want me to get onions? Then they cut and they do other people. You know, they show him enjoy. And then they cut back. The guy coming back through, I've got your onions.
That's what I mean, that people were not in on the joke. Sometimes it could feel a little bit mean, but always funny.
Yeah,
always
yeah. Funny. Very, very funny stuff. More recently, he is... sometimes people were upset because they thought he could be cruel.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And some people, like Cher, very famously wouldn't go on the show for the longest time, then finally went on.
Yes.
And when he asked, why haven't you done the show before, she said, because you'll have to bleep this, because I thought you were an asshole.
Right. Yes.
Which was one of the best moments ever.
What did
on the
he
show.
Say to that? What was his answer?
He
to
was kind of taken aback. I don't think he had much of a reaction. We'll ask our guest. Can we play Letterman on Larry King's birthday?
Happy birthday to Larry King, 81 years old today. Larry King, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this is also his 30th year of looking 81 years old. They wheeled in the cake and he said, who the hell did I marry now?
We're going to miss that.
I almost spit up my cranberry juice.
Yes, you did.
I didn't see that coming.
More recently, he's gone in on Chris Christie. And you know what's funny? I mean, you know, it's almost
my cruel. Governor.
Yeah, but then Christie will come on the show and they kiss and make up. But then he still goes on. Let's hear some of the Chris Christie stuff.
Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is in Iowa campaigning at a big Iowa cookout. And he's out there all day telling people that the hot dog line is closed for a traffic study. If you're attending this campaign cookout in Iowa, please, this is sort of like the running of the bulls in Pamplona. Do not get between the governor and the potato salad.
Oh, I'm going to miss him. This is a big passing. I want to get...
Well, he's not dead.
Well, passing of the torch.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to finish that phrase.
Yeah, that's
important.
Yeah, it's a big passing.
We want to get our today's guest on the phone for a little bit. Matt Rausch is the senior TV critic for TV Guide magazine. He also has TV Insider, where he writes about television and all that kind of stuff. I've never met him before. One of the brightest guys talking about pop culture and television and all that kind of stuff. And he's a busy man, but he said he would talk to us today a little bit about Letterman's legacy. So we're going to reach out to him, get him on the phone.
Great.
I did reach out to Matt just a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And
was he with the girls that you were talking to at the corner?
I did not talk to any of those girls.
Hello.
Hi, Matt Rausch.
Yes, hi.
Hey, this is Tony Perkins and Gary Stein, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How's everything?
Things are great. Thank you so much for joining us. Here's Gary.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hey, Matt. Hey, listen, this is Gary. We don't know each other all that well yet, but I just wanted to ask you, because Tony was confused by it. I'm just wondering, what is the date for when Tony and I are going to be on the cover of TV Guide?
Oh, good question. You know, I wish I controlled those kind of things, but
that's why we had you on.
Just be hugely patient. Just wait in line. It eventually happens.
Okay,
yeah, that's a long line.
All right.
Listen, man, I know you're really busy. Thank you for taking some time to talk to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I was really happy to hear from you.
Yeah, we're both big fans. And I didn't even tell Gary this, so I wrote to Matt because we've never met.
Right.
I've read him forever, and I wrote an email and said, we never met, but I used to be the weatherman on Good Morning America. And he wrote right back and said, yeah, I remember you. I watched you on Good Morning America.
Well, of course I did, yes. Yeah. And I'm happy to hear that you set up shop in my old stomping grounds of D.C., where I lived for all those years, and I was at USA Today. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, you know what? He got you on the show, but he's not the same Tony Perkins who was the weatherman on Good Morning America. this is a guy who works at the post office.
No. That's not true.
Or the Anthony Perkins who I, you know... Yeah. I'm watching Bates Motel on A&E right now, and it's like, okay, that's a different Anthony
different
Perkins
guy.
Altogether.
Yeah, different guy. Anyway, you know, this is a momentous week in television with David Letterman saying goodbye to late night TV after it's 33 years total, right? Something like that.
33 years, yeah. It's an unprecedented run for somebody. His mentor and idol, Johnny Carson, only his reign, which seems so legendary, was 30 years, from 62 to 92. Mm-hmm. And this exceeds that between the two shows he did, both in NBC and and CBS. So, yeah, this is a true end of an era for somebody who did, I think, change the way that late-night TV somewhat operates.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. But, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this because it actually brings up my first question. I was surprised a little bit because Letterman loved Carson so much. I was surprised that he went past Carson's record. I thought he might bow out at 29 years or something. Are you surprised by that at all?
Well, you have to look back at the idea that Jay Leno was, I think if I have this math right, Jay Leno was probably still on the air during that period, and it was almost like he needed to outlast Jay Leno, I believe. There had to be a sense of him getting some sort of one-upmanship since he didn't get the big job, or as he saw it, the big job back in the days when they were both vying for the Tonight Show throne, and so maybe that had something to do with him continuing beyond the 30 years of Carson. But there's also a sense that with someone like David Letterman, that the show has been such a, these things are so important for these people that to give the show up, it's like any of us. When do we ever want to really give up the thing that means the most to us? And so in that regards, even though he knows that the way that late night works now, he's not a particularly YouTube and viral friendly kind of a guy, or a friendly kind of guy for any of that matter. But nonetheless, he's seeing how the younger whippersnappers are doing it, and he knows it's sort of not his game anymore, probably. Yeah. So the timing is right, if not a little bit overdue, but still, there's the bittersweet nature anytime somebody like this steps away from television.
Who do you think changed things more that are stepping away at the same time, really, Jon Stewart or Letterman?
Well, Jon Stewart, I think, has more cultural relevancy now than David Letterman does. So in that regards, that's the truth. But I don't think without a David Letterman, really changing the way that late night plays, the way he brought that sort of sense of irony and transparency so that you always know they're doing a TV show and kind of making fun of the TV show they do, that sort of self-deprecating and ironic tone that he set. I don't know if you'd have a Jon Stewart doing what he's doing. But nonetheless, I think both of them leaving within the same calendar year, such a seismic shift in late night TV is just unimaginable.
Yeah, this period of time that we're going through reminds me of when Carson stepped down, and then all of that, all the different changes that went everywhere. The Leno situation, and then the Letterman situation, and ultimately Conan, and all that kind of thing. This is big like that.
Well, it surely is, and because when Carson stepped away, maybe that was even more of a seismic shift in some regards because it changed so many dominoes in the sense that CBS had no real presence in late night. They had never been able to have a successful show in that arena. So when Letterman left NBC, when they didn't give him the Tonight Show, it became a true competitor. And for a while, Letterman was the top show until Leno kicked in. They always say that it was when he had Hugh Grant on his show that's when the sort of the spark went off, and all of a sudden Jay became the number one show. His was a more populist show anyway. So the idea that there were two network late night shows that were sort of equal strength to a certain extent, even though NBC was more popular, but still, CBS has always been a contender with David Letterman over there. And then they have the Craig Ferguson show for a while. Now it's James Corden. They have a whole late night presence now they never used to have. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, came along later, and so ABC has a real contender. And then, of course, there's the Comedy Central power.
Yep.
Used to be the power couple of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and now, of course, with Colbert taking over the Letterman slot come the fall, again, who knows how it's all going to change. But yes, this one calendar year, there's so much change happening, and the one we really can't get our head around, I think, is Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show, because that is such a daily habit for so many people.
Absolutely.
And he's it's like he was born for that job. He's so good at it. He is the right guy for it.
Just like most recently, when he goes off on Tom Brady, and that one, everybody saw that one. Even if you weren't watching it live, everybody saw him really just attack that baseball legend, and really go after it in a way that only The Daily Show can do. So in that regards, he's still on top of his game. There's no sense that this is a truly personal decision for Jon Stewart, because there was nobody screaming for his retirement.
I want to ask you something about Letterman and get your thoughts on this. I'm a Letterman fan. I was a huge Letterman fan, and I do have to say, I thought for a few years there, I just kind of felt like he was going through the motions. He used to kind of rush through the top 10 list. I remember watching the show sometimes and going, if you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Well, he's such a singular character in late night because, of course, the new guys, they seem like they're having such a good time. And, of course, like Jimmy Fallon, it's like a party every night. And yeah, that is not David Letterman at all. But you're right. I think there was a certain sense. And he gave this very candid interview to the New York Times. And Letterman at that point, I think if you're reading him carefully, you get a sense that when he realized that he wasn't going to win the ratings race, it took some of the wind out of his sails. And there probably has been a period of time when he just, not that he didn't love doing the show, but he just, I think that he kind of felt like he had lost a little something, lost a little bit of his oomph. And then, of course, he's had the personal scandals, and he's had the health problems. And so there's a sense at which his life has become so different as well. But now he's got the kid, and maybe he realized that the show wasn't the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
But so many innovations that he created for late-night TV, the top 10 list, the throwing the stuff off the rooftop, the sense that there was something so reckless and anything goes about what he would do on the show, that he would turn the shopkeepers next door into pop culture celebrities.
Right.
There was something so freewheeling about the show.
Yeah.
And to do it over a period of 30 years or whatever, it's just so hard to keep reinventing the wheel. And that kind of stopped with him. I mean, the show now is not as fresh as it was back in the day. You can't expect it to be.
Right.
But, I mean, there's still something. You watch some of these most recent episodes, and there's still something about the way that he comports himself, makes fun of the show even as he's doing the show, and you just get a sense there's something so special there. I love the fact he does it in the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yes.
There's something so historic about that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Colbert's going to take over that theater, so that tradition will continue. But, yeah, I do agree with you, and I've heard it from a lot of other people as well, that Dave isn't as... You got a sense that Carson really hadn't lost anything by the time he went off the air.
Right.
But then again, it was a different environment. There weren't as many shows, not as many competitors.
But I do think I do think that Dave, with you know, as we've gotten down to the end now, you know, this last month or so, he's like rejuvenated. He knows
it's
the end is
very
near.
True.
Yeah, it's very funny.
When you do see the finish line inside, you do tend to raise your game a bit, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
I think that when you are the guy who brings the edge, which he did right at the beginning...
Yeah.
I think it's impossible to maintain that, except he set a new bar for everybody else.
Well,
I don't think you can keep that level of edge up, but without him, as you said, there wouldn't be what we have now. So
well,
I think he's done.
And I also think that he knows that he's made his mark and doesn't really have anything left to prove, really. And he influenced the style of comedy. A lot of people give credit to the fact that the sort of tone of comedy you see in places like The Simpsons or Seinfeld, and certainly Jimmy Kimmel sees himself as a protege, the sort of the wacky stuff he does. But a lot of his stuff is online and playing with video and things that Letterman doesn't really, he's not of that generation. So there's almost like a second generation with a Jimmy Kimmel, sort of that very snarky and ironic kind of way that he does his thing. But I think like the humor of The Simpsons owes a lot to David Letterman. Seinfeld himself does, that idea that you could riff on nothing and be not the nicest people and still have a huge hit sitcom. I mean, all that kind of stuff kind of came out of Letterman's sort of reckless and fearless qualities from those early years, I believe.
That is a great point. I haven't really thought of it that way. That's a great point. Let me ask, I know your time is tight. I want to ask you one more question. Stephen Colbert is going to come in. I have a theory, and I like Stephen Colbert, but I have a sense that a lot of people don't know that he was doing a character on his previous show and are going to be confused when he comes to
or
mainstream
disappointed
or whatever. What do you think?
I can't wait for that to happen. That would tickle me. That would tickle me no end because he's going to have to reinvent himself. Of course, that's one of the great things about show business and careers like this, that you do have to reinvent yourself from time to time. That character he created on the Colbert Report was, you know, brilliant, but it, and such a sustained piece of performance art that he did on that show. But he's not that guy, and he's very smart. He's very funny. He's very quick.
Right.
I mean, he was a correspondent on The Daily Show. I mean, you've got to be fast on your feet to survive in that environment. But it's going to be so interesting to see him adapt his personal style for this kind of show, because he's not going to be that character. And I'm not sure what he, you know, a lot of people don't know really who he is then.
Right, right.
So it's going to be a learning curve for everybody in the most public way possible.
It's going to be fascinating. Listen, Matt, you're a gem to join us. I really appreciate it. We wanted to talk to someone with some knowledge about all of this to put it all in perspective. I want to let people know that obviously you can read Matt, TV Guide Magazine. Also, follow him on Twitter at TVGM Matt Roush, TVGM as in TV Guide Magazine. And anything else you want to plug?
Well, our website, because it's confusing to people, because TVGuide.com is not our website. You can read TV Guide magazine writers at TVInsider.com.
Yes. Okay, TVInsider.com.
I really appreciate it talking to you as well, because we all have passion for this, and it's a very interesting time in late night, and people do care about these people, and it's going to be interesting to see where our new traditions take us.
Absolutely. Keep us updated on the cover.
Oh, you bet. Great to talk to you.
You too, Matt. Thank you much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, you told me he was going to have energy. What happened?
He's great.
Boy, does he knows a lot. And,
yes, he does.
He was great.
He does. Anyway, Matt Rausch, TV Guide Magazine, thank you so much for joining us. And for those of you who don't know, the final episode of Late Show with David Letterman is Wednesday, May 20th. So it's coming up in a few nights, depending on when you're listening to this.
And I'm planning on watching a few just to sort of get myself back in that place.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'll miss them.
What I've done. I've watched for the, you know, when it got to the month mark, I said, all right, let me get back in. And it really has been a joy, because a lot of it now is a celebration. Martin Short came out and sang a song. Martin Short sang a song to Dave that he said, Dave, to be honest, I wrote this song when you had your heart situation and I thought you were going to die. So it refers to you in the past tense. It was very, very funny.
That's
great. Very, very funny. So there you go. We wish David Letterman the best.
Absolutely. And hopefully he'll come on the show.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
I just wanted to celebrate the hell out of you.
Out of me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Why does this worry me?
Well, I started thinking, you know, all the years we spent together, and that there is such a worldly quality about you, about the breadth of knowledge that you have of people around the world, where people come from. Are you smirking? You're already smirking.
I feel you're setting me up in some way.
I have never set you up. I celebrate you. I revere you in a way.
Okay.
I revere you. But, you know, your knowledge base of just like, you know, I'll mention somebody and he'll say, you know, well, I don't know if you know that person is from Siberia. He's done that before, Rob.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I don't know if I ever mentioned it.
But he's always had a worldly quality about him. You're absolutely right.
So, I mean, sometimes if I don't, and I've done it privately because I don't want people to think that I'm stupid, I will say to Tony, where is that person from? And he says, oh, well, they were born in Tibet and they were, come on, like it's not true. And you know, he would know something about the, and I'm going to prove it. I just would like to celebrate him a little bit and prove it. Like, let's just try a couple, okay?
I have to tell you where they're from?
You know what? I'm setting it up.
Okay, I'm just asking what the rules are.
No, you'll find out in just a second. So this is just going to be like, just give it to me really quick.
Okay.
Like you did with the movie stuff, the trivia,
yes,
the music trivia.
Okay.
It was right on the tip of your tongue when you had the right answer once or twice. What I like about this, though, is that this one will really show you off.
Oh, no, no. This is
in a much better way than the music thing did.
Great. That means I'm going to fail miserably.
No. Well, you know what?
I don't trust you.
No, it's so interesting.
I trust you, but I don't trust you.
It's so interesting that you have so little confidence when... There's so much about you that is almost perfect. Almost perfect. So, look, let's just go with, like, famous Asians. Okay?
Okay? Fasians for short.
Fasians. I like that. Fasians.
That's good. And look, they're easy.
Okay.
They're
right.
easy.
Okay.
So, it's so really, okay. I would never put you on the spot.
I can,
you're,
you know.
You're really the host of the show. I'm just the featured.
I'm already narrowing it down in my mind.
Well, don't. Okay. I mean, so just tell me... This name, it's going to be on the tip of your tongue.
Okay.
A Chinese diplomat, sometimes called the Chinese Schindler. What? No.
The Chinese Schindler.
He was real. He saved thousands of Austrian Jews. Well, like you don't know, he's playing coy with me during the Holocaust by issuing almost 2,000 passports and visas. You were probably talking, I think you were talking about him the other night over Peach Melba.
This is a real... You leave Peach Melba out of this. She's a fine exotic dancer.
Come on. What's the name? Right off the top of your tongue.
The Chinese Schindler? I have no clue.
Come on.
I have no clue.
I set you up for this. Come on.
He's trying to be modest because he doesn't want to show off that he's just so worldly. This is your forum to let your knowledge fly so people really know how
you are. I know nothing about any of this.
What?
This was a historic figure.
Rob, is this a name you've known all your life?
I mean, at least by fifth grade.
What's
I mean,
his name?
It's Dr. Feng Shanho.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Feng Shanho. Oh, no, that, if you'd been more obvious.
Well, no, that surprises me. That surprises me. Let me. Can I go with another Asian? I can move on. Let me do one more Asian, okay. Because this one is like knowing your own name.
Okay.
Japanese Korean American author of The Boys of the Three.
You can't even get it out.
Of the 3-year nap. The Boys of the well, because the book is funny. The Boy of the 3-year Nap.
The author of The Boy of the 3-year Nap?
Yeah.
Is his first name Kong?
No, that's insulting. What do you want to insult the Asians for?
I'm trying to take a guess.
You really don't know?
I don't know. This
Rob,
is not my
Rob.
Era. Rob won't know what, this.
I mean, third grade, Alan Say.
Alan Say.
It's Alan Say.
Yeah. Remember they used to say, what does Alan say? There was like always a big joke. There was always a big
this
joke about
bull.
Him.
This is bull.
All right.
You didn't learn
right.
these things.
You know what? I'll give him something else. Obviously, he doesn't know anything about Asians. Let me go with something else.
Yeah.
All right. Try to guess this.
Okay. You know, I'm going to get one of these.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Hank is acknowledged as one of the greatest hitters to play baseball of all time.
Hank Aaron.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So he knows something about an African American.
Right? Yeah.
All right.
He could be a baseball fan.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's baseball.
Sports
maybe
fan.
It was
right.
Because I mean, that was at the tip of his tongue, and he didn't know some of the obvious ones.
It's true.
All right. Well, let me try this. Okay. Let me just go with like famous Puerto Ricans.
It's good.
Can
a lot,
I do that?
A lot of famous Puerto Ricans out there.
All right. And again, you know, I was a little disappointed with the Asian thing, but you're going to make up for it here.
I'm going to ace this.
Okay. One of the very few performers to win an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony, and a Grammy. Okay. So this has got to be...
Rita Moreno.
Yes. 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 Okay.
Right.
You think you can stump me.
No,
maybe
well,
I don't know Asians, but I...
No. He knows his Puerto Ricans. He does. So this Puerto Rican actor currently lives with his wife and kids in Vermont. What? Answer it. How many Puerto Rican actors do you think live in Vermont?
How many Puerto Ricans are in Vermont, let alone actors?
He's probably the sole Puerto Rican in Vermont.
That's not fair because you're diminishing this guy's career.
No, but should I know this person?
Of course. When I mentioned Vermont, his name should have been on the tip of your tongue.
Right. I don't know anybody lives in Vermont.
Unofficially, I think he's on the flag.
Oh, my God.
Does Rita Moreno have a brother?
No.
Peter Moreno.
No. Wow. So tell us that you don't know Luis Guzman. Come on.
Oh, I know who that is.
Right?
Well, why would I know he lives in Vermont?
Everybody does. Rob, where did you think he lived?
Everybody. I'm in Vermont, of course.
Right.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Well, listen, since he's gotten everything
wrong.
He's
been in Vermont for a while.
He's gotten everything wrong so far. So let me just go to another one. Let me just see if there's anything
for the best.
I got Hank Aaron.
Rita Moreno. You know what? He didn't get Hank Aaron.
I got Hank
Aaron.
She's best remembered as a woman who simply refused to give up her seat on the bus.
Rosa Parks.
Yes.
See?
Oh,
so
what was so hard about that?
This is demonstrating.
You know
something.
What? I'm starting to get a pattern here, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah, let me just make
because,
a note.
Because people are going to suggest that I might, you know.
I have a future test for you. I already know.
I'm surprised so far. I'm just going to go with a couple more because
okay. You want to stay in that?
Well, no, it's not going where I thought because I was trying to celebrate how smart you are, and you're kind of coming off like a dumbbell.
No.
Well, we started with Asia.
I have particular
knowledge.
And then
we moved to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe a little bit closer to home.
All right, let's do this. So you know what? This is gonna work.
Absolutely.
Famous people from Alberta, Canada. Right? Okay?
How do you find these things?
Find what? I opened up a book and I said, give me the most famous people on earth. And the page fell out.
That was the name of a dancer from across the street.
Okay.
Alberta, Canada.
All right. Really, really, you know, this goes along with your inappropriate story about Monique's daughter.
Okay.
Because this person is one of the most beautiful people, I think, on the planet.
Okay.
So she was discovered in British Columbia by the Ford Modeling Agency.
Oh, my God. Oh.
A great agency, by the way, let me tell you.
Christie Brinkley?
Wow, I am so sad.
Oh.
I am so sad.
Oh. Is it from that era?
No.
Recent?
I don't want to help you. I mean, the fact that you can't help yourself is astounding to me.
Kate Upton.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't know.
Thinking of someone who might be committed.
Rob, don't really just look straight up at the ceiling, just in case he thinks you're cheating.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Would you just look up at the ceiling?
Hold on.
And really, and the first name that comes to mind, hit me.
It's Evangeline Lilly, of course.
From Lost.
Yeah, who? From Lost. She's Kate. Evangeline Lilly.
Gorgeous.
Played Kate in Lost.
One of the most famous people from Alberta.
Very
from
famous.
Alberta, Canada.
She's probably the only one.
Really? One of the most...
I shouldn't say that. I'm sure they're...
Very proud city.
Many talented people in Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
Like Evangeline Lilly.
All right, here we go. You know what? This will be the last of the Alberta, Canada things.
Alberta, Canada?
Please, be quiet. I'm starting to feel sick to my stomach. I'm starting to get sick. All right, this is about as obvious as it can get, you know? It's like holding up a sign in front of your face.
Okay.
Do you know if Connor's listening to this show, he's bought out?
Very embarrassed.
Just like
right
you did
now.
With the Redskins?
Yes.
He's gone.
It's a good thing you're a local newsman, right, not a national or an international newsman.
That's why I'm local.
Before I go to the last one from Alberta, Canada, let me just go back to my other list and just see.
It's a separate list.
When her talk show first began in Chicago, nobody would know at that time that she would become one of the most powerful women in show business.
Oprah Winfrey. Thank you.
I mean, it's the right answer, but it's not like I'm excited.
I do seem to have a narrow area of knowledge here.
Tony, could you not listen for a second?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Rob, does he realize these are all black people?
I mean, I think he does.
Do you think?
But this doesn't
look good for the audience.
Well, you said you weren't very excited, but on the other hand, he is very excited about it.
The breadth of his knowledge is really not what I expected. He knows black people.
You say it's a black and white, but it's really only black.
It's not even black and white. All right, let's get back on the mic.
Let's try a different shade.
Can you ask me some Beatles questions?
The Beatles!
All right, all right, let me...
No famous people from Liverpool by any chance on the list?
No, not on your life. Okay. No. Let me just go, you know what? He's been my friend for so many years.
That's very true.
Right? He's probably my best friend. Am I just about your best friend?
You're making me cry right now.
Come on.
What's that? What was the question?
Am I...
You're one of my best friends.
Was I one of your best friends?
You were,
okay,
yes.
So let's go with famous Jews.
All right, I have a shot at this.
Okay, this is a gimme.
Hopefully,
it's a gimme.
This is a Jew who did something outside of just the Jewish world.
Who hasn't? What Jew was only interested in Jews? Why do you think people killed us? Seriously, do we need to go there?
Let's not get heavy. Can I play a game? Play the game, you're right.
All right. Wow.
I feel good about
this. You try to bring something to a nice podcast.
You know who would do very good in this category?
Who?
It'd be a Dr. Feng Shan Ho.
Yes.
The Chinese Schindler.
You're right.
The Chinese That's Schindler right. specialized in helping Jews.
Absolutely. Well,
the only Jew Tony's ever helped is me. all right, let's go with the Dutch philosopher of Portuguese Jewish origin.
Oh, my God. What? Give me this again?
Is he Dutch?
He's Portuguese Jewish? What is he?
I just said he's the Dutch philosopher of Portuguese Jewish origin.
Oh,
he's a famous Jew. It doesn't matter about where he's exactly from. Mm. Everybody knows him.
There's nobody knows this person, and I certainly don't.
Oh, right.
He's a Dutch. Give it to me one more time, so I have a shot.
Give it to you one more time.
Yeah.
Was that Helen Reddy? No, was that Captain Antonio?
Do it to me one more time.
shove it at me one more time. All right. All right.
Wait a minute. I love the fact. You thought that Helen Reddy had a song, Give It to Me One More Time.
I thought she was lonely.
That was her follow up to I Am Woman.
Yes. Exactly.
Completely discredited her.
I've provided a service. All right. you know what? Rob, let me go with you for this.
Yes.
So he said, please repeat it one more time. That's going to help. Okay. Now he'll get it. The Dutch philosopher of Portuguese Jewish origin.
Alfred Heisenbaum.
Why do you want to put Jews down?
I'm trying to.
You think Jackie Mason would appreciate your attitude here?
You only know Jewish comics.
This is obviously Baruch de Spinoza.
Oh, man. Baruch.
No, what did you say?
Baruch.
Could you call him his right name? I said Baruch.
Baruch.
It's like, yeah, Baruch. Like you're spitting.
Baruch.
Baruch. De, All right.
All right. I'm trying.
Yeah, you're trying. Okay.
Spinoza.
Next time, get a good night's sleep.
That's not a Jewish name.
Right. Okay. This particular boxer was referred to as the Brown Bomber, and he had two big fights with Max Schmeling. The first one he lost. The second he won, he basically carried America on his back.
Schmeling was Jewish, wasn't he?
He was German. He was German.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. You don't like that mix up, do you?
Quite a big difference there.
He and the unknown boxer turned out to be very good lifelong friends.
Joe Lewis.
Yes.
I know.
Rob.
Yeah.
I'm winking at you.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting loud and clear.
It follows suit, does it not?
Hey, yeah. Come on.
I say it's a traditional black suit.
I have a...
Everything. You know what? Everything looks good with a black suit because they all look the same.
They really do.
I have a broad, you're just not asking the right questions. I have a broad base of knowledge.
All right.
That's
all right.
I'm
okay,
a news
fine.
Anchor.
These are very
this
broad
is,
questions.
This is going to be my last Jewish question.
This is what I'm going to know.
All right.
I do know some Jewish history.
All right. I'm going to do it. All
okay.
right.
All right.
Originally from Nazareth. What's everybody laughing at? What is everybody... this is Who Wants to Be a Billionaire. What's everybody laughing at? It's a game show.
That's great. What a great beginning.
Please, from his sake. Please, from his sake.
Is this for all the marbles?
It's for all the marbles.
Okay.
Originally from Nazareth, he is considered to be the founding father of Christianity. One of the world's great Jews.
You're giving me, I can't believe this is the final question, and you're giving me this question.
Yes.
So that I can save face.
Okay.
Shecky Green.
Yes. Yes. Can we hear the Beatles?
The Beatles!
Wow. That's the end of this. Listen, not only is it the end of the game, but I think that we've learned something about Tony we did not know.
No, you haven't.
Wow.
I promise I have a wide birth of knowledge. Breadth of knowledge.
Yeah, you got a wide berth, but I don't know about it. You know what? I think we're done. You know, Rob, what do you think? Let me just talk to Rob for a second. Are we done playing games? Look, I need the audience to like him. We have a new sponsor. It's called eVoice.
That's right.
Do you think the people from eVoice want him to just be speaking to black people?
No, I don't think so.
They want us to be spreading the word to all countries, all people from all places. We are the melting pot here in America.
Well, and if he's just talking to black people, that's really limiting the eVoice market.
Did Tony leave?
I talk to all people.
Yeah, but, well, you talk to all people, but you need to know all people.
This is a good lesson.
Okay, this is actually my fault. Because I obviously misread you and misread your breadth of knowledge.
I am going to get back at you. I'm already plotting the questions.
Oh, boy. Well, then make them as easy as mine. Come on. Make them as easy as mine. The wide world of Tony Perkins.
I was set up, folks. I was set up. I can do better than that, and I will next time if Rob Ford would give me some cheat sheets.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Donnie Simpson.
All right. We have a couple of minutes left. I want to wrap up this show.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do. I believe on a previous episode, we made a quick mention of some of the worst songs. Did we? Yeah. I don't know if it was after the show or on the show, but we had a little brief conversation about bad rock music, bad pop songs,
yes,
really.
Yes.
And I said we should get to that because I've got a couple of good ones, and I do. Some of the songs that I think are the worst pop songs to ever be released.
Were they written by Asians or were they written by people from Alberta?
Dutch Portuguese Jews.
Okay.
Wrote these songs.
Oh, there's a lot of them. Yeah. That could be anybody. I have one too when you're done, you know. I have one. You're not alone.
One of them in my book, and I've mentioned this to people and I get arguments about this, one of them is by a group that you actually mentioned a couple of moments ago. I can't stand this record. I couldn't stand it when it came out in the 70s. I just think it's an atrocious production and too coy and cutesy and the sound effects I don't like. Captain and Tennille had a hit with this song. The song was written by other artists.
Can I guess?
Yeah, please.
Can I guess? Wait, it's not Muskrat Love.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Can we hear a little Muskrat Love?
I thought they were on drugs writing this song.
They didn't write it.
Who wrote it?
America, the group America.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. Listen to this. It's awful.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, Muskrat
Susie. Is she on drugs?
This is
really
ridiculous.
Well, why do you draw, why do you do a song about a large rat? What is
I don't
that?
Know. Who? I mean, I think maybe I've never really thought about it, but maybe they were on drugs. Not Captain Antonio, because it was written by members of the rock band America, who also had a hit with it. I think Captain Antonio's was bigger. But who's writing a song about muskrats?
But you know what's wild?
And they give them names: Muskrat Sam.
When that was a hit, I never even questioned it.
Really?
No, I was on the radio and I listened to it and thought, okay, all right.
I used to grimace. I was a teenager and I used to just think, what?
Yeah.
And in this one, there are little sound effects like muskrats towards the end of the song. I can't believe you got that.
I can't either. I'm going to try again. I probably won't know. But.
All right. I got, this is, there was a hit in the 70s. This is one of the most famous one-hit wonders of all time. A guy named Terry Jacks. Do you remember that name?
Yes.
I know you'll know this song. It was number one, but it's pretty routinely regarded by people as just being a really awful song. No one knows why it got to number one. Terry Jacks.
Can I try, son?
Yeah.
Can I try?
Yeah. What do you think?
Seasons in the Sun?
You're good, Gary.
Seriously?
I can't believe after you embarrassed me that you're getting these. This is Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend.
Terrible song.
We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees.
What's he whining about? Stop whining!
Learned of love and ABC. Skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die.
Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die. Yeah.
Not if you sung this.
It's a death song.
I know.
I have to admit, this is funny. I'm like you with Muskrat Love. When this was a hit, I didn't mind it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mind it. But in the years afterwards, I'm like, this song is awful. However, I can top it.
Oh, boy.
I can top it.
Okay.
And to top this, the badness of this song, all you needed to do was flip the single over.
Wow.
I don't know. Listen, you know I love music. So when I used to buy 45s, vinyl records we're talking about, I would listen to the hit. And then I would go, ooh, what's on the back? And I would flip it over. I have never in my life heard a worse song, period, than what was on the flip side of Seasons in the Sun.
I won't even venture a guess.
It's a short song. We're going to play the whole thing. It's like a minute plus, right?
A minute and a half at best.
Minute and a half. We'll play as much as we can stand. This is Terry Jacks. The name of this song, I'm not kidding, is Put the Bone In.
Oh, my God.
Put the bone
God.
In. She asked him at the store. Because my doggie's been hit. By a car.
No. I have a
and
dog.
I do want to bring him home something. Put the bone in. She begged him once more.
She begged him.
Begged him.
Listen to this.
The meat from the pork is sweet.
Pork isn't good for him.
Give the bone from the pork meat to me.
This is awful. Can you imagine worse lyrics?
You know what? This is like you made this up and wrote it to tease us.
You know what? The only thing that would make this worse?
What?
Would be if a whole chorus came in. Let's listen to the final part of the song. Bring it up, Rob.
Put the bone in. She asked him. The store, cause my doggie's been hit by a car, and I do want to bring him home something. Put the bone in, she begged him once more.
Listen to the very end. That's on the record.
Oh, no.
That's on the record. Oh, no.
What was he on?
I don't know.
You have presented wild things over the years. To say that this is the worst song ever and to mean it?
Yeah.
That is, but I have to have it. Yes. That's the worst song I've ever heard in my life. I'm trying to figure out what is he talking about, and I thought, well, maybe, you know, and I'm not going to say it any other way, maybe he thought the dog's dead, right?
The dog is dying. The dog's been hit by a car, is dying. He wants to bring it a treat, which would be the bone from a piece of pork.
Yeah, but that isn't exactly what I was picturing. I was picturing that if you, like, slip the bone in, maybe the dog was going to, like, be revived.
Oh, that's a whole interpretation.
Well, I'm thinking he's trying to save the dog. It's not going to be saved by pork.
No, it's just remember, Gary, the meat from the pork is sweet.
He was born in Nazareth. And that is the worst.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Rob, have you ever heard anything like that?
Never have.
I have one that's not much better, but it's not like that. You know what? If this was a game of some kind, like the pathetic one that we played a little while ago, you absolutely won. Because if I was bringing, you know, songs that were the worst, that I thought were the worst ones, that's the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
It's terrible. It's just terrible.
But I do have a terrible song.
Well, I want to hear yours.
Okay, so years ago, my cousin in Passaic, New Jersey, was sort of trying to get into music, and he was working with some very interesting people who turned out to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Saul Zaentz, who founded Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also was involved in finding this group with my cousin Maxie.
Okay.
Creedence did real well.
The other group didn't.
Well, before Saul, you know, made not billions like you, but certainly millions with Creedence.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went out to California, started a film division, and made the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Amadeus.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
He, Fantasy Films. This was Fantasy Records.
Fantasy was famous.
Yeah,
yes,
well.
Okay.
Well, so they also found a group called Filet of Soul.
Oh, that name sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the only song that they ever had out. Why don't we just play it and I'll tell you the name. This was it. This was a 45.
Mm-hmm.
It came. I went searching for it recently and had no idea that there was a site where you can get 45s that nobody would ever want. Okay?
Gary, like you said, it was only available on a 45. So
literally.
Yeah. So he said, what are we going to do? How are we going to play this? So I've actually brought in a record player. That's really what's taking up all this
counter
space.
That's an antique.
Wow. So,
if you'll indulge me, I just need to get this needle over real quick.
And let me give you the title.
It's not really working so well, so I put a couple quarters right on top of
old school,
of
man.
The needle.
That's the way to
old
go.
And I think it'll really pull the sound out, and I think the listeners will really appreciate it.
And you know what?
Difference.
Someone had to tell you about that, because what do you know about putting coins on a needle?
Drop that needle.
Swinging on a love vine. Let it build. Let it build.
Feeling you want someone.
Because we got to get into the recognizable piece.
Even mean swinging on a love vine? What's
vine? I'm imagining.
I'm kind of imagining too.
Yeah, do you wonder why it didn't go anywhere?
Is this early 70s? This
1970.
This sounds like a.
Swinging on a love vine, everyone's feeling fine.
This has that fifth dimension kind of production to it. Bring it up again.
They try to get a little soul into it.
Yeah.
It's called Filet of Soul.
You know what's great about this? You know what's great about this? They, and to their credit, they really believe in this song.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing their best to sell it.
They're having an experience.
It's not working.
No.
I mean, you know, no. I get what they're going after.
Yeah.
But swinging on a love vine, that's
miss.
Just not a good lyric.
Near missed.
Yeah. This is, I got to tell you. Oh, yeah.
Bring it home.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. You're listening to Bay Country Soul. That's a brand new group coming out of California. Filet of Soul swinging on a love vine. It's 63 degrees right now in San Francisco. We'll be back with Terry Jacks putting the bone in just a minute. That is our show, folks.
Oh, man.
I have never heard such bad music, but I love it.
I've never heard a show like this before.
I love it. We want to thank you for listening. Once again, we thank Matt Roush from TV Guide Magazine. You can follow Matt on Twitter at TVGM Matt Roush. That last name is spelled R-O-U-S-H. We thank him. Best of luck to David Letterman. Thank you, E-Voice, for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Take care.
Swing it. So much fun. Feeling you want someone. Bring in your love, and I'll show you the way.
The way.
Swinging on a love line, having such a good time. Feeling kind of crazy, clinging to a girl like you.
Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.